Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Tonight I'm going to be speaking about spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness. And, amen. So, let's just begin. All right. Let's go to Isaiah 42, verse 18. Now, understand that the Bible is a spiritual book, and a lot of the significance is for the spiritual people to understand spiritual things. Isaiah 42, 18 says, "Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see." He's not addressing a natural deafness or a natural blindness. He's actually addressing a spiritual blindness and a spiritual deafness. And so this evening, I want to talk to you a little bit about spiritual deafness and blindness. And we're going to take a look specifically tonight at a group of individuals in the Bible that Jesus called spiritually deaf and blind more than once. And we'll have a look at why we believe that this happened and how we need to protect ourselves from becoming spiritually blind and spiritually deaf to what God wants to do. The truth is, and I'll show you this evening, that spiritual deafness and blindness can hinder God healing you. I'm going to say that again. Spiritual deafness and blindness will hinder God healing you. Think about it for a second. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you can't see it, if you can't hear it, nothing's going to happen. So if you haven't moved beyond what is natural into the realm of the spirit, and understand again, this is spiritual now, this is not the natural. I can see John. He's right over there. But I can't see deeper unless I really look and begin to see the spiritual things. Does that make sense? So in the realm of the spirit, there are spiritual things that God reveals to us. And in the New Testament, he reveals those things to us through the Holy Spirit. Okay? In the name of Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus, because we are in Christ, the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal stuff to us. How many of you know he is your teacher? Okay, so, you know, where it says that you don't need a teacher, you need the Holy Spirit, that's what it means. It means that he's the one who will show you things. He's the one who will reveal stuff to you, okay? But we all need a teacher. We all need people in our lives that can speak into our lives, amen? I know I do. I need counsel, I need teaching, I need direction, I need to hear revelation. It inspires me, amen? But I know that I'm looking for where I'm hearing, where the Holy Spirit is speaking. And that's what I go after. Is that okay? All right. So there are many people in the body of Christ today that are spiritually deaf and spiritually blind. Jeremiah 5:21 says this. Hear this now, O foolish people, without understanding. In other words, you're foolish and you have no understanding. Who have eyes and see not. And who have ears and hear not. In other words, because you cannot see and because you cannot hear, you have no understanding. So if you can't see and hear from God, you will have no understanding. And your expression on this earth will be foolish. We sometimes think a foolish expression would be like dancing on the chair. That is foolish, but not that kind of foolishness, okay? Foolish expression is one that is not actually godly, okay? It's an expression that shows that there's no understanding. When you become spiritually deaf and spiritually blind, you will not see God move in your life. You will not see him move in the lives of others. I was listening to somebody preach, and he was saying that, you know, he was a conservative preacher, and he was saying that, he's not conservative anymore, and he said that they used to go to prayer meetings and pray for people to get healed, and then when the person got healed, they were upset about it. Because it didn't work with their theology. Okay? So, you know, you can be spiritually blind, not see that God is still very much healing and still very much doing things today. Amen. All right, Ezekiel 12, verse number 2. Don't worry. It'll start slow, but hopefully we'll build some momentum. Amen. I'm like holding back because I just want to minister. Ezekiel 12, verse number 2. Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house. Now watch. What does rebellion do? Which has eyes to see but does not see, and ears to hear but does not hear. For you are a rebellious house. So we see that one of the causes for spiritual blindness is rebellion. So when you have a rebellious heart or a rebellious attitude, or you operate with rebellion, you will struggle to see and hear what God wants to say. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen somebody that reads scripture and you'll like read it to them and then they'll read it and it's like, you're looking at them and you're like, can't you see it? And they're like, I don't see it. I just can't see it. You know, there are many times, even here at Oceans, literally, where I'll call something out, and especially when we talk about tongues. For some reason, when I talk about tongues, people get really uncomfortable. They start twitching and they, you know, and the ones that really get uncomfortable make a beeline for the door. And then I'll make a statement like this, where Paul says, I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than you all. And they'll do this. That's not in the Bible. Or that's not what it means. I'm busy getting, there's eyes like this right now looking at me. I'm not kidding. Because they have never seen it. Now that doesn't make you rebellious. I'm just saying this is what happens. Rebellion is one cause for us to be spiritually blind. But there's one primary cause that I want to go into this evening. And I'm hoping that this will really speak to your heart. You can open the Bible and begin to read text, and you'll be like, I have no idea what this means. Okay? Now, that doesn't make you spiritually blind. It just means that God hasn't revealed to you what it says yet. So one bit of advice I can give you is, whenever you study the Bible, say, before you do anything, Holy Spirit, you know, what is going on here? Amen. Yeah. You see, like this morning, I didn't say that because, like, I teach this stuff every week. So you should know that, right? So, okay, amen. All right, let's just move on. Okay. All right. Explosive power. Everybody say explosive power. When you expect it least, God will just begin to move powerfully. While you're sitting there thinking, oh, this is going nowhere, all of a sudden, God will just begin to pour out His Spirit. Suddenly, there will be just a supernatural, sudden expression of immense power that can break forth to get us all out of our religious state. Now, watch this. John 9, verse 39. Okay, this story, we see Jesus heals somebody, and the Pharisees are all upset with him, a blind man. And watch what happens here. Okay, John 9:39. Then Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind. Let's read that again. For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. It's like, what the heck did you just say, Jesus? I want you to understand that the biggest problem that the Pharisees had was that they could not recognize who it was that was standing before them. The only way that sin gets taken away is through the Messiah. Jesus is the one who takes sin away. Look at the question. Okay, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. But yet they don't see because they don't see who he is. Are you with me? And so they say they can see, but they can't see because they don't see who it is that stands before them. And the fact that they say that they can see and don't recognize that the person standing before them is Jesus the Messiah, they are still blind. And their sin will not be taken away from them. Are you with me? Why did this happen to the Pharisees? What is it that caused them to be like this? What is it that caused them to be in a state that they could not see Jesus was the Messiah? Now, there's many things we can talk about. Tradition, religion, you know, theology, all the different things that they just couldn't recognize it. They just could not recognize him. But there is one vital key that is a vital key to every single believer. Every single one of us. Now, I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself, but that's okay. Let's just go. Are you with me? Are you okay? All right. I'm not going to be long tonight. I don't think. Let's go to Mark 8, verse number 1. Mark 8, verse number 1. All right. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days. Did you see that? 3 days, these people, this crowd followed Jesus, but they had nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own house, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Then his disciples answered him, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said to set them also before them. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. Now watch. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000. This is amazing. 4,000 people get fed by those small amount of fish and bread. But I want you to see how they stayed with Jesus for 3 days. A multitude of 4,000 people hung out with him for 3 days. How many of you in your mind, whenever you picture people traveling with Jesus, it's kind of like 12 and maybe a couple more. Did you ever think that there was crowds of up to 4,000-5,000 that would follow him around? Isn't that incredible? And then he goes, you know, shame, you know, they're coming after me, they're seeking after me, they need to be fed. Let's give them some food. But they didn't have food, so Jesus did what only the Messiah can do, and that was he multiplied what he had. Isn't that amazing? Okay. All right, now, watch this. And he sent them away immediately, got into the boat with his disciples, and came to the region of Dalmanutha. Then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. Now watch, but he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. And he left them, and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now, the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Seriously. Okay, they had like lots of baskets of bread and fish left over. And they did not have more than 1 loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not understand? Is your heart, watch this, is your heart, I'm going to say it again, is your heart, I'm going to say it one more time, is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said to him, 12. Also, when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. So he said to them, how is it you do not understand? How is it that you do not understand who it is that's with you in the boat? How is it that you still don't recognize? How is it that you still don't recognize? You have everything. You have me with you. You have me traveling with you. You have me with you everywhere you go. You already see the signs. And by the way, so did the Pharisees. So did the Pharisees. They saw the signs. They saw the wonders. Yet they wanted another one. But the truth is, the signs were already there, right? The signs were already taking place. Jesus was operating. Jesus was being Jesus. And his disciples are all confused. And Jesus throws out this incredible statement, which I repeated about 5 times. We'll get back to that. And he talks about the leaven of the Pharisees, a condition that was in them that was causing them to not be able to see or not be able to hear who it was that was standing before them. Let me tell you something, guys. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The truth is, though, that in front of every single believer, does anybody have a Bible? Quickly give it to me. This is a little bigger. Okay. I won't lose your place. See this? When you get saved, this is the first thing you should buy. You are without excuse. You have one. Begin to read it. Begin to study it. Begin to eat it. Let it begin to transform you. Let it begin to change you. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Seek a relationship with God. He will begin to transform you. He will begin to speak to you. If you're hungry and thirsty, you'll be filled. If you seek after righteousness, you'll be filled. If you go after Him, you'll be filled. He'll begin to open up the scriptures to you. And then you will begin to see something. You will begin to see who Jesus was. Now, who was the Word and who was in the beginning and who was with the disciples and who was with and around the Pharisees? The Word. But yet they could not see. And yet they could not hear. And yet they could not perceive. Even in the boat with Jesus, just after he's taken seriously. He's just taken bread and multiplied it for 4,000, and they have one loaf in the boat, and they think, oh man, you know, he's upset with us because we only have one loaf of bread. No, he's upset with them because they still do not understand. I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than you all, but you still don't understand. Silly example, but it's an example. Okay, let's go on. One more story. And then we'll see what God does. Are you okay? I'm going to tie it all together in the end. Matthew 13, verse 14. Matthew 13, verse 14. Watch this. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, this is Jesus, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. And seeing you will see and not perceive. In other words, the same messages and things that are read to you, everyone gets heard. You can go on the internet, you can hear whatever you want. It's all available out there. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing and their eyes have closed. Lest they shall see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they shall understand with their hearts and turn. And when they do, so that I should heal them. If you study that word in the Greek, that word in the Greek is not the word sozo, which speaks of salvation and restoration and healing. That literally speaks of a miracle, of a healing, of a healing, a supernatural healing. Now, in the context, and if you study it several different ways, you can put it together. If you take that scripture out of the Old Testament where Isaiah quotes it, the word for heal there is the word rapha. The word rapha in its root word, we believe, after many scholars have studied it, more than likely will actually speak of healing. No question, that's what it says. But when you study the word heal in the Old Testament, which is rapha, it has to mean restore, because how do you heal a building? How do you heal a river? And the word rapha was used to heal water and a building. So what did it mean? If the water was poisonous now, but once it was pure, it can be restored, right? Okay, now you can see that if they begin to hear and they begin to see and they begin to understand, something will change. They will become healed. Are you with me? I love doing this lately. Now we've seen this, but let's take a look at what took place just before this. Let's put the text into context. And when we tie this together, guys, I don't care if you never felt God in your life, you can feel Him tonight. You can feel His presence tonight. You can have a breakthrough tonight. You can have an encounter this evening. It's up to you, though. Amen? Of course, it's up to Him, too, but, you know, He responds to His word. So let's go back and take a look. Let's go to Matthew 13, and let's go all the way back. Kevin, why are you phoning me? Let's go all the way back to verse number 3. Matthew 13, verse number 3. If I had time, I would take this out of other Gospels too to show you just how powerful this actually is. Then He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some seed fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Look at what He says next. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to Him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." Let's go back. Now we're going to pick it up in verse 14. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, Hearing you will hear, and you shall not understand. And seeing you will see, and not perceive. Now watch. For the heart of this people have grown dull. In the other story, He says to His disciples, He warns His disciples about the condition of their heart. He says to them, "Has your heart also gone hard?" He says here that it's because, look at this. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their eyes are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see, and their eyes and ears and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I shall heal them. What is the story all about in that parable? The condition of your heart. If your heart is like those different stony, rocky, thorny, the word will not get through, and your eyes and your ears will be shut. So what do? We have to give him our hearts. We have to give him our hearts. You see, the Pharisees would not give their hearts to him because they did not believe. They did not step out and believe. Stephen makes a statement when they're stoning him. He says something to the effect of, "You are just like your forefathers." And he speaks about how they always reject the Holy Spirit. And he actually makes a statement that they cannot see, they cannot hear. And he talks about their hearts there as well. If you want to be able to have understanding, spiritual sight and spiritual hearing, you have to have a heart that is yielded and begins to recognize who Jesus is. And something happens then. I should heal them. What hinders the healing? Blindness, deafness, which comes from a hard heart. I have, in my journey as a pastor, done my absolute best to protect my heart, and it's hard. But one thing I do to the best of my ability is I always heal to him. And I begin to step out. I don't have to see anymore. I've seen enough. I want to see more, but it's not going to change anything. It's not going to change my perception. I will believe in a supernatural God if I don't see one more miracle in my life. I will preach he still heals today if I don't see one more miracle. I'd much rather see many. But he's never changed. He's the same. Why? Because my heart, my eyes, and my ears, I believe, are open. I can perceive who he is. When you become full of rebellion, when you become full of religion, and you just shut yourself off to believing who he is and not allowing the work of the cross to operate in your life, it will affect you. Is there anybody out there? I know this is different, but I'm going to say this to you tonight. If you have ears to hear and eyes to see, you will understand what I'm saying. Let's raise our hands and close our eyes for just a moment. Father, we love you so much. We can see, even through Scripture, Lord, that even your disciples battled because of their heart, Lord, what they've been taught, what they've been shown, what religion was in them. And you even said to them, has your heart not changed yet? Has your heart not... Can you not see it? Can you not understand who I am? Who I am that stands before you? And so even now, I say to you that sits here this morning, this evening, do you not know who it is that you serve? Do you not know that you serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Do you not know that you serve the God that spoke the earth into existence? Who are we to suggest that he cannot touch you in your body now? Who are you to dare suggest he cannot bring healing to your family, to your marriage, to your business? How can we stand and theologize who he is when we cannot even see or hear or understand? And so, Father, in your word, you said that if we come to you, you will give us a new heart. If we come to you and surrender our lives to you, that you will give us a heart of flesh and take this heart of stone. Father, when a stony heart is dipped in water and it comes out, Father, the water just drips off it. And if you squeeze it, nothing happens. But when a heart is soft, when a heart is open and soft and just desires more of you, when you dip it in water and you squeeze it, the water squirts all over because that heart is full of your presence and your love and your grace. Father, I know that one of the things, there are many things that cause a heart to get hard. Father, unforgiveness and bitterness. Religion can cause us to be blind and not see. But this evening in this place, I pray, Father, that you will take our hearts of stone and give us a heart of flesh. Father, if there's bitterness, if there's hurt, if there's unforgiveness, Father, if someone spoke evil of us, whatever it is, I pray tonight in this place that you will remove that from us. Right there where you are in your seat, and if you're watching online, I want to challenge you right now that right there where you are, begin to cry out to Him. Listen, you have to see Him the way He is. You have to perceive who it is that stands before you. Do you not know? Can you not see that throughout Scripture, it was those that took a step, those that believed who He was, that had the breakthrough, that had the miracle? Why? Because they saw, because they heard, because they understood. And that's why they got their healing. That's why they got their miracle. That's why they got their breakthrough. That's why they stepped out of the realm of the natural into a realm that seems impossible. So right now in this place, Father, I pray that your presence will fall, that your presence will come right now in the name of Jesus, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. Father, right now, in the hearts and the lives of every person in this place, Father, I know every family, every person needs a miracle in some or other way. But Lord, do they not know that the one that stands before them, the God that stands before them, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was and is to come, stands before them, and He stands with power in His hands, and He stands with life in His eyes, and He stands with light inside of Him. Do you not know that this is the God that you serve? Can I challenge you this evening? Lay down your burdens. Lay down your burdens. Lay down your burdens. Lay down what you think you have a right to hold on to. Lay it down tonight in this place and watch how He will touch you, how He will deliver you, how He will heal you, and how He will give you a new heart. Can we all stand? Come on, church, let's stand. Come on, somebody, let's stand. Oh, brevesite laban, sabrava shete levelien de levesite laba, sebreve kerevesite levalie, oh, sebreve shereve, oh, sebrevesite laban. Did the prophet not say that men with stammering lips and an unknown tongue, they will speak to these people, and this will be the refreshing, this will be that will renew, refresh, and strengthen? Father, I pray right now, in the lives of your people in this place, let our hearts be changed. Let our hearts be changed, Father, tonight in this place. And I pray that eyes will go open right now in Jesus' name. Eyes go open. Ears go open. Begin to see, begin to hear, begin to perceive right now in the name of Jesus. 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 I need to hear the singers. Just worship, just worship, just worship right there where you are. Just you and Him, just you and God. Oh, we serve Adonai. Oh, we serve you, Adonai. Can I ask you, right there where you are, right there in your seat, has the Lord touched you there in your seat? If He has, can somebody let me know? Just give a shout. Just lift your hand. Just give a clap right there in your seat. Listen, you don't have to have the touch of a man. It can happen right there in your seat, right there where you are. If you cry out, if you make a decision to stretch out towards Him right there in your seat, it'll happen for you. Right there. Right there in your seat. There's a time for ministry with laying on of hands, and there's a time where we don't do it. Right there in your seat. Just receive it now. Lift your hands. Take it by faith. Father, give us new hearts. Give us a new heart tonight in this place. Give us a new heart. Renew us. Strengthen us, Father. Give us a heart that burns with fire and passion for You. Father, in the name of Jesus, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Go now in Jesus' name. Betrayal, go now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of betrayal. I take authority over you. Now, in Jesus' name, go. Now, 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 go. Now, in Jesus' name. Now, unforgiveness. Go now, in Jesus' name. Father, give us new hearts tonight. Give us a new heart, Father, as we come before You tonight. Take a heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh in this place. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, lift your head. Receive it. Now in Jesus' name, right there where you are. Right there where you are, just receive it now. There's the presence of God now, right there where you are, just receive it now. Take it now. Take it now. Take it now, 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 take it now. Young people, take it now. Take it now, right here where you are, in the name of Jesus. Now in Jesus' name. Now in Jesus' name, right here, right in this place. Now, 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 take it right here on the right. Now, take it now. Take it now in Jesus' name. Right now in Jesus' name. Open your heart. Open your heart to Him now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we give you thanks. And we give you praise. Now on the count of three, shout like something's happened. In the count of three, do you take it now by faith? One, two, three. Come on. Yes, Lord, we take it now. Yes, we take it now. Right now. Right now, right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.